British Spy Stories, Season 2, The Kill Order. Episode 13. Riverside continues to explore the home of Riccardo Fazzoli and walks upstairs to where there are two bedrooms and a bathroom. He knows that this modest house is only one of several that Fazzoli has bought with his criminal profits. There are no more clues as to what might have happened to Catherine that Riverside can see in the place. As he's finishing his tour and he's preparing to leave, his mobile buzzes in his pocket. It's an encrypt from London. He puts in the code and answers on video. Agent Marlin tells him that she's received the footage he requested from the CIA satellite network. It shows movements around the Fazzoli house, an hour either side of the point at which Catherine's tracker died. He tells Marlin to go ahead and run it live over the secure network. Riverside sits on a wooden bench under a big first-floor landing window and watches the satellite video showing the building he's now in. He selects 3x speed, and the timecode clicks on through the seconds and minutes. The image has a night vision filter applied to it, so that the movements of any people or vehicles can be seen in the dark. He watches, unblinking, at what is initially an unchanging landscape. No people come and go at first. Then, at T-minus 2, he can see Catherine's approach across the field, behind the house. He watches her exploring the back wall, sees her throw the cord over the wall, and climb up. He sees her make her way across the garden and disappear inside the house. As not even satellite can see inside the place, there's no more movement on the video. He fast forwards 10 minutes. Still nothing. Another 10. Still no movement. Then a car pulls up, outside the front of the house. A figure gets out and goes in through the front door. A minute later, two people appear carrying what could easily be a body. Catherine's body. They dump it in the back of the vehicle and drive away. Marlin has been watching in from London.
"Got any more?" says Riverside. "That's all you asked for."
"Where does the vehicle go?"
"We haven't tracked that,"
she starts to say.
"Hang on, though."
There's a pause, while Marlin talks to someone in the room at her end of the call.
"We can do something. 2 seconds.
Another pause and muffled conversations. Riverside looks out across the fields in front of the house, imagining a car pulling away with a body in it. Marlin comes back on.
"Got it," she says. "We've attached a crypto tag to that vehicle image. Now we can use that tag to search the footage in the following few minutes and hours if necessary."
"So we can see where they went," says Riverside.
"Yes, watch."
Marlin pulls up a new video on the screen, this time with a red tag on the car. They both watch as the tag moves through the night, through the lanes of northern Italy, and up into the hills. After half an hour, the car stops.
"Looks like they took her to that point," says Marlin.
"Can you send me the grid ref to that endpoint on my phone?" says Riverside. "I'll go and explore."
He makes his way back downstairs, diverts to the back garden and removes the HA6 climbing cord, then slips out of the front door of the house, walks back to his car, punches in Marlin's grid ref to the sat-nav, and starts the engine. At times the route is steep, and at others dead flat. Riverside shepherds the rental car around a dozen hairpin curves, watching the marker on the screen getting nearer to the place where he may find Catherine. When he is 50 yards from the destination, he pulls off the road into a gateway that leads to fields by the roadside. He gets out of the car and walks the rest of the way. The building at the grid ref is a farmhouse, or was once. To one side is an open barn structure, with remnants of straw bales and machine parts, long since abandoned. The house itself is 1970s, nothing spectacular. He skirts the grounds and comes up alongside the garage that's built into one side of the house. He draws his Glock 17 handgun. The metal up and over door is open, and he walks into the structure and across the concrete floor, checking for movement or sounds coming from the body of the house. He stands at the interconnecting door from the garage and slowly turns the handle. The door opens silently. He takes one step. His boot scrapes slightly on the floor. He stops to listen. There is nothing audible. He rounds the corner into the hallway and sees a red stain on the floor, which takes up the full width of the passage and extends along the corridor. He drops to his haunches, pulls out his mobile and opens the sample drawer. He uses a chip of wood on the floor to transfer blood into the chamber and sets the app going. He stands and walks on through the house. The phone pings a notification. He opens the app and clicks Compare to Oberon. After 30 seconds, the message says, No match. A small mercy. She may still be alive. After searching the house and confirming that no one else is there, he calls London and tells Marlin what he's found. She says she'll take the DNA analysis from his phone app and see if they can match the sample from another country's shared DNA database. Can we continue the vehicle trace, Marlin? He says. Beyond here, I mean. Is there movement?
Give me 2 minutes.
The screen goes black, and Riverside walks around the top floor of the house. In a storage room in the centre, his foot hits against something on the floor. He picks it up and inspects it. It looks like tape of some sort, and he remembers the reel of tape in the Fazzoli home. There are scuff marks where someone has kicked the walls, but little else. His phone buzzes. Marlin has the route of a vehicle, from where he is now, to a guest house on the Italian border.
It's 2 or 3 hours, Riverside,
she says.
130 miles.
He breathes out. Okay. Send me the details. Ella gently pulls back the duvet from the bed that is squarely in the centre of the back wall, in Stefan's bedroom. She stands up and recovers her pyjama bottoms from their resting place on the duvet and pulls them on. There is little light in the room, but enough to show her occasional details, and for her brain to construct a picture of the rest without seeing it. She turns her head and watches Stefan on the other side of the mattress for 10 seconds, then grabs her phone and tiptoes across to the door in the half light and out into a short corridor that creates the backbone for the flat. The floorboards of the Victorian building creak every couple of steps, and she waits each time to listen out for movement, but none comes. His laptop is lying on the floor, next to the sofa, in the lounge. She picks it up, sits on the sofa, and pushes the power button. The briefing that she had received from MI6 Tech Branch had explained the standard veneer software that sits on a Moldovan security service machine to hide its true purpose. She pulls out a USB plug that sits in the back of all MI6 phones and pushes it into the laptop. She runs the standard multi-part password breaker app, which gets through to his desktop. Then she clicks through the file structure to a folder called Backup. She goes in there and clicks on Delete All. The naming convention is designed to put off any casual users. Delete All is the app that connects into the Moldovan mainframe via a secure satellite feed. A login screen appears with a large title, Information and Security Service of Moldova. It's the second time she's witnessed evidence of the truth about Stefan, and she can't stop her mind feeling disappointed that his attraction to her may have all been a setup. She looks on her phone and refers to the security structure information she was given by Tech Branch. She downloads a barrier app that will shelter her from the Moldovan breach applications and allow her to get into the system. Ella types and clicks through the security layer, then heads for the folders that contain the more sensitive data, including agent lists. There are more screens to get through, but finally she finds the agent list and starts to copy it back to her phone. She takes all of the agent names, not just the ones in Russia and the EU, as Marjorie has asked. She doesn't know why, but the other data may come in useful at some stage, in some scenario she can't yet foresee. While the transfer rolls on, she decides to explore what else is on the machine. Ella scans across the buttons at the top menu and selects Recent Activity. A list appears of messages that Stefan had sent to his controller, including details of his Bristol discussions. Halfway down the list, there's a file attachment and she goes into it and reads the words on the screen. Stefan's reporting back on MI6's Operation Windfall. Ella wonders if Stefan had got that information from her, hacking her machine in the same way that she was doing with his, right now. She reassures herself that her laptop, like all MI6 machines, has triple lock authentication, with live feeds of any tampering being wired directly back into London control. But he did get it somehow. The transfer to her phone is complete, so she closes everything down and puts the laptop back where it was on the floor. She hurries back into the bedroom and slips under the covers. On the other side of the bed, Stefan is turned away from her. She can't see that his eyes are wide, staring across the blackness of the last minutes before dawn.